the opportunity and the honor of preaching and teaching your word. Father God, I thank you for this simplicity of your word. I thank you, Father, that you make it available to us. And with that faith and with that knowledge, we approach you now, Lord, asking and knowing that we will receive. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In Matthew, the 10th chapter and verse 40, we're going to learn something extremely important about the value that Jesus Christ pays to his disciples, his apostles, his preachers. If you remember in our study in Jesus getting from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, to the holy city, to the place where he finally won the final victory, he stopped in many places, and we've studied many of them already. But this is a particular place that he stopped, that he tarried here and said more than any place else that he stopped. Here is when he entered into a ship, into a vessel, commissioned the 12 apostles and sent them forth. Gave them a great deal of instruction as to what, how, and where they were to minister to his children. Now, lest you forget, I want to call your attention to chapter 10 and verse 5, just to remind us a little bit. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them." Now, I want you to look at the word sent. Jesus sent them. It's vital that you understand that Jesus sent the apostles. And if someone isn't sent to you, it's not of God. Now, I've learned a long time ago that people that are not sent to me are not of God. That's why I don't go knocking on doors, standing on street corners, or picketing in front of the Pussycat Theater or any place else. I wait for people that he sends to me. Now, it's important that we understand that this is a two-way street. Jesus did not only send someone to you, he sent you to someone. In Matthew 10:40, we understand and we'll read the importance of it. Jesus is speaking, and he's saying to his disciples, to his apostles, "He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me." It is important to understand that Jesus said, if you want to receive the Father, you must receive Jesus. And I appreciate the song this evening talking about Hare Krishna and Buddha and all the rest of them. That's not going to do it. But you see, the fact that God the Father sent Jesus Christ isn't the problem. The problem for most people is that they don't understand that Jesus said, in order to receive the Father, you must receive Jesus, but in order to receive Jesus, you must receive him that Jesus sent. Now, I know Christians are very religious people. I like the way you all think, and I love the way you talk. I listen to you. Sounds very spiritual. See, there's three people here mentioned. All need to be received. Christians always say God is love. Sounds good, doesn't it? Jesus is Lord. Reuben is boring. You see, for some reason, you miss out on the last part of that. If the preaching isn't boring, it's too long. If it's too long, if it's not too long, it's too short. If it's not too long or too short or too boring, it's too direct. See, you say things like, he preaches too long. He preaches too short. And the real problem is he preaches. There's your problem. Now, if it's true that God is love and Jesus is Savior, and I have to receive, in order to receive Jesus, I have to receive those that he sent. You see, how in the world could I come and preach to those that he sent if I haven't received them? I believe with all my heart that's why most churches can't reach the people. I believe that's why most churches grow and have a lot of people there, because there's nobody receiving them. See, you come in under false pretenses, and nobody knows who's really there. And I, for one, like this church where Jesus say, will the real Christian please stand up? Or go back in the corner and hide, one of the two, but he knows you're here. Now this word receiveth is used three times here in the scripture. And I want you to understand the importance of the word. But before we do that, I want you to look at verse 41, the very next verse. Remember Jesus saying here, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Now in verse 41, he says, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Now the three receiveths in verse 40, and the first receiveth, in fact the only, no, first receiveth in verse 41, don't come from the same Greek word. Let's study them both so that you can understand that you receive God's man on two levels. And if you only receive him on one and not the other, you're not going to have the truth make an impact in your life. People many times will call me and say, well, I don't understand. I'm not getting this. I know you're not, and I'm about to tell you why. He that receiveth you, the word receiveth comes from the Greek word adekomai. And it means to accept and to take. It means to take what is offered willingly. In other words, the first receiveth doesn't mean you actually receive something. It means that you recognize that something's being offered to you. See, until you recognize that something is being offered to you, you won't receive it. You can't take it unless you know what's being offered. So the first receiveth, in reality, he's saying, I am offering you a pastor, a savior, and God himself. Now, he says here, this word receive, dekomai, means to take what is offered willingly. Which means you not only do not get to choose who preaches, you don't get to choose what I preach. Which is perfect justice. Because if you got to choose your preacher and what he preached, then it follows I should be able to choose who comes here and who I have to put up with. And I know of no place where God has made that kind of an offer to me. How dare you think that you have that luxury? Did you ever come to me and say, well, would you like to have me here? And here's what's wrong with me. Would you like to minister? You walked in and I was stuck with you. And listen, I have not tried to get you to change what you think about yourself. Got you to accept, and I want you to understand what the truth about you is. Amen. So see, the first thing in this dekomai, this receiving of Jesus Christ, we must take each other willingly. You understand that people are not here to make your life miserable or to make your life better. They're here because God sent them here. Now, if you have problems with someone that God sent, I don't think God is motivating that difficulty that you have. Because you see, not only am I sent to you, but everyone here is sent to you. We're a family. So let's have some dekomai, which means to accept and to take what is offered willingly. Well, but you don't understand, Brother Reuben. She's such a jerk, and she does this and she does that. You know something I learned a long time ago? Could it be, and I certainly get my share of these, Could it be that Jesus Christ was looking for another David to deal with another Shimei? Could it be that he wanted to take someone and have no other way to reach this individual? They've been preached to, they've watched it on TV, they've heard it all, and they just can't reach him. Could it be that Jesus said, I need someone that I can take this jerk to and let him be a jerk and still see the love of God in spite of the way they're acting? Could that possibly be what God wants us to do? I believe that's the case. Why would I get so many jerks? Amen. You know, it took that for me to understand that about myself. I accepted from God. I said, Lord, if you have nothing else for me to do but to let someone do their thing and still see your love in spite of the way they treated you, and if they did that to you at the cross, I don't think they're going to do anything near that to me. I think I can bear it. At first, I thought it was going to be harder than the cross when they put me on toilet detail in the first church. But I took what was offered willingly. Kids are great, you know that? See, kids don't care, do they? You say go to the bathroom, and as long as they're in the same building the toilet's in, that's close enough. They don't have to even get in the same room. In fact, what's that thing? They don't care. They're in the right room, man. They're getting close. So you take what is offered willingly. But dekomai, or receive, also means to receive favorably. You see, if you are the kind of Christian that you can't receive your brother or sister until they're absolutely perfect and put in absolute correct standing in attitude and behavior, then you're absolutely worthless. As a matter of fact, you make my job harder. Because here I am trying to show them the love of God no matter what they do, and I got you on my back showing them the hate of the devil for whatever they do. I would rather you would go into a coma at least during the service, and don't make my job harder than it is. If you can't say something nice about people, then shut up, would you please? I don't need more work. I don't need to undo the poison that you put out. I hope this is all that I have to say to defang some of you, but if not, I'll meet you wherever and we'll talk more about it. The word dekomai, or receive, also means to approve of. Now, not approve of the way they're behaving, but approve of them. See, the reason they're here is because they have that problem. And if you think about it, that's why you were sent. The sad thing about it is you still have the problem. And that's why you get upset when people come in who still have problems. The word dekomai, or receive, also means to agree or consent to believe in. I believe that people that come to this church are seeking an answer in the truth and they want to change, but also believe they're not going to do it overnight. Not that they couldn't, it's because you're in the way. They're here for a reason. The last part of the definition of the word receive or accept means to receive with intent to retain and adopt. You see, this isn't a family like the one you were born into, where you didn't choose your parents and you didn't choose your brothers and sisters. You had no choice in the matter. I mean, that's just the way that it was. But we have a different situation here in our church. And I don't mean just in our church. I mean in the church of the living God, Jesus Christ. We come in by adoption. Which means we get to look at one another and talk with one another and willingly accept one another. That's what adoption is all about. But see, you got it backwards. You don't understand that we're a hospital, a spiritual hospital. And what you're requiring is perfect health before people can get in. What an admittance or admissions nurse you'd be. Well, the sick people would be in the parking lot in the back. Have a temperature out in the parking lot for you. Sneeze, be gone, you and your devils. Don't you understand what we're about? But you don't understand, she did this or that. Thank God they did this or that. For once in their life, they can go somewhere and be what they really are and have someone assess that and help them with it instead of condemning them for it so they have to hide it the rest of their lives. I thank God that they can come here and do that. I wish you would shut your mouth and let me do my work. Amen. How in the world are they ever going to know what's wrong with them if you don't allow them to show the symptoms? You ought to be ashamed of yourself. And every one of you knows who I'm talking to. And if you don't, raise your hand. I thought surely no one will bite on that one. We're not through with the word decomyla. In other words, what I'm telling you is, this is why you're not receiving the truth. This is why you hear this and it doesn't have an impact on you, because you're not willing to accept the people around you. Decomai also means to get benefit from by exposure to. Well, how in the world could I get benefit by being exposed to an out-and-out jerk? Oh, what an opportunity to show the love of God. You don't know what it's like. Most of you don't even have an inkling to know what it's like to have someone despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you falsely and then do something good for them. Oh, what a good feeling. Burns their sideburns off, but I don't care about that. Makes me feel good. He says, if you only love those that love you, what have you done? Even the publicans can do that. Even a snake loves its own. I'm trying to tell you something here, that God's love means you can get a benefit by exposure to those that he sends to you. He didn't send them to you for you to criticize them. He didn't send them to us for you to put them down. He sent them to us so they could be honest and finally speak and show what's bothering them so we could minister to them. And you don't even have to do that. That's my job. I just ask you to stay out of it completely. Decomai also means to enter into a special relationship with. Now, I know a little bit something about this special relationship. In any family, and you know this as well as I do, I thank God that all your children are pretty normal, relatively speaking. But when the youngest one is born, he is the most helpless, or she is the most helpless, and there's a special relationship with them. You'll wipe things for them you wouldn't do for the other. Sounds to me like a special relationship. See, they're more helpless. They don't know what you and I know. And just that they're in the right building is good enough for them now. You expect them to hit the place right on target and not have a spot on you. Give them a break, will you? He wants us to enter into a special relationship. And understand this, this is all mental so far. He hasn't asked you to do a thing, but just accept mentally, that's all. And if you think about it, all he's asking you to do is shut your mouth and be happy and peppy and bursting with love. Basically what the Lord is saying, give me teeth. Decomai also means to accept mentally as authentic and valid, and to be a host. If you hosted everything the way you host your brothers and sisters, I'm not surprised why you live in the wilderness. It doesn't surprise me why people don't want to be around you. And it doesn't surprise me why they always show to you that you're so critical of. See, God sent them here so they could be honest. And you want to hang them. You know, there was a man in the Old Testament who didn't like God's man, slandered and talked against him, finally talked the king into building a gallows to hang this man of God on. And you know who hung on the gallows he built? Yeah. You're hanging yourself, friend. All God asks you to be is a host. That's it. The word host means a man who entertains guests at his own expense. That basically means it's not going to be particularly beneficial to you. You're going to have to pay something. It's going to cost you dearly. You're going to keep your mouth shut and remember that you were just that way, if not worse, when you came in. As a matter of fact, you're worse because you've been here a long time and you're still criticizing that you're still guilty of. So now, see, we've got this part done. He says, all I'm asking you to do is receive the one that I've sent. Now, you all try to spiritualize and say, oh, we love our pastor. That's another message. I'm not going to say you do or don't. I'm saying this applies to a whole lot than just me. See, there's no scripture in this book that we can take and apply it to any one individual or groups of individuals. God is no respecter of persons. If he's telling you to receive me, then he's just as much telling me to receive you as much as he's telling you to receive each other. This doesn't play favorites. This book of God does not play favorites. Well, now that we've got the mental part, which you shouldn't have any trouble with because it hasn't required anything of you yet, but to think, and you'd rather sleep anyhow, so, I mean, what does it cost you so far? Nothing. Now comes the reward time for you doing basically nothing. He says in verse 41, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Now this word receiveth comes from a different Greek word, lambano, which means to take a hold of, to grasp physically. You see, that's why I'm an advocate, as all of you know. If you come to me and you have a need, I'm not just going to pray for you and say God loves you and a hamburger will drop out of the sky. No, that's a good decomai, but there is no lambano. You got to reach in and grab for some lambano, my friend. This child is hungry. See, but you just want to just pray him out of existence. He that receiveth a prophet, he that gets a hold of a prophet in the name of a prophet, receives a prophet's reward. Now, I'm going to tell you what that means. And I think you will understand because you see examples of a prophet receiving a prophet's reward all the time. You just didn't know what it meant. Well, you're going to know tonight. First of all, you need to know what a prophet means. And you know, I'm not an advocate of taking this word as many do and try to say, I am a prophet of God and therefore I'm something special. This book and this word applies to every one of us. You all have a ministry. You just don't happen to have mine, that's all. Now let's find out what a prophet is. And you can see that it can apply and should apply to every one of us. Unfortunately, you're going to see you fall short. The word prophet means, from the Greek, an inspired speaker. Sounds spiritual until you see the other part of the definition. It means to show or make known your thoughts and to speak your thoughts. Do you know what a prophet is? Someone who doesn't lie. You see, when I stand before you and I make known my thoughts, I tell you exactly what I'm thinking, all of it. I don't hold back any of it. That makes me inspired. I'm inspired by the truth. See, you're not capable of truth. You must be inspired to speak truth. Well, if that's true, you're also not capable of lying. You must be inspired to lie. Well, now, when someone tells you the truth, you thank God for it. But when someone lies to you, why don't you blame the devil? He's the one that inspired it. Instead, you take off after each other. Now, he said, a prophet is one who makes known and tells you his thoughts. He shows you and tells you his thoughts. Doesn't hold anything back. A prophet isn't someone you can come and say, would you do this for me? He said, oh, I'd be glad to. And you do it, and then you bitch and moan for 3 weeks afterwards about what you had to do. Or you go tell someone else how inconsiderate they are because they asked you to do something. If you'd have been a prophet, you'd have said, no, I'm a jerk. I don't want to do it. At least you'd be a prophet. Not a very popular one, but a prophet. See, you're a liar is what you are. The word prophet also means a foreteller. Well, right away people say, ooh, yeah, that means you got to tell fortunes. Foretell means to tell, announce, or indicate something beforehand, which is nothing more than honesty again. If you're not going to be here on Sunday, don't tell me you are. If you want a ministry here, tell me you want it. If you don't want to sing, tell me you don't want to sing. If you're upset because someone else is singing, tell me you're upset because someone else. Tell me ahead of time. But see, you wait until it happens, then you sit in the corner and you mope like a stupid idiot. I wish you'd have told me ahead of time. You see, if we're honest with each other, it might be that someone is doing something without realizing the effect that it's having on you. But you thought foretelling means to tell futures and tell the fortunes of people and to be able to tell things ahead of time. All it means is when you have something here, it's always before you do it, so why don't you speak it? That's all that it means. In other words, if we had this kind of honesty going between pastor and people, husband and wife, children and parents, there'd be no problems with her. You know where it all comes out? When they lie to you and they withhold things and then you catch them later on. Or you tell them you're going to do something and then you don't. And then they catch you later on. So you see, a prophet is really nothing more, and I use the term advisedly because it's everything, but it's really nothing more than an individual that tells the truth. And whatever's on his mind, he might say, you know, I don't like what you're doing, and I just want you to, let's try to work this thing out. For some reason, I'm having difficulty with this. Maybe we ought to get together with our pastor and work this thing out. No, you're gone. You act like a child. Now what he's really saying, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. Well, let's see if you have a prophet, and let's see if you receive me in the name of a prophet. Remember, prophet means to make your thoughts known, to be honest, in other words, to tell the truth, to tell it up front beforehand. If I'm going to be there and I tell you up front, I'm going to be there. If I tell you I'm going to loan you or give you, I'm going to loan you or give you. And I'm going to tell you up front. All of you know this. You can't come to me and say, oh gosh, I'm kind of hungry. And I don't make you beg. I don't make you rattle a tin cup. Just seeing that there's a need is enough for me. And I'll reach in and try to help you. I'll offer you the help. He says, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, well, let's see if you do. See, knowing my name isn't what this is talking about. The word name comes from a Greek word that means the authority and the character. In other words, if you receive a prophet in the character and authority of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. Now, what does the word character mean? It means with the same attributes and characteristic and essential qualities. It means the pattern of behavior or the personality found in the individual. In other words, if you receive me in the same personality, the same behavior as I've received you, we'd have it made. If you will tell me the truth, see, I'm here to tell you the truth, but you lie to me. And one of your favorite lies is, I don't know. I don't have my underwear. It's at Kmart. I don't know. See, you're mentally defective. See, what the Lord is saying is you have a prophet and you have an example and you have a pattern of behavior. Now, if you would act that way to him as he treats you, you get the same reward he does. Now, if you don't like the way I act and you don't like the things I do, then get the hell out. Go somewhere where you do like it. But when you get there, for God's sake, do it in the name and the authority and the character of the man who is in charge. But see, the fact of the matter is, you just don't want to do it. He says, if you receive a prophet with the same pattern of behavior or personality that's found in that individual, you'll get the same reward. See, he says, in other words, if you receive a prophet with the same character as the prophet, then you receive a prophet's reward. But the word name doesn't only mean character, it means the authority. In other words, if you receive a prophet and exercise the same authority he has exercised on you, then you'll have the same authority yourself. Authority means the power or right to give commands, to enforce obedience, to make final decisions. See, every one of you makes decisions. I'm quitting. That's it. I'm quitting. Oh, yes, I'm quitting. Again and again. See, making decisions is not your problem. Making final decisions, there's your problem. You have no authority. And the reason that you have no authority is you do not take me in the name of the authority that I have. And you see, my authority isn't to make you do what you don't want to do. My authority is to give you the authority to do what you do want to do. But see, you can't even be a good jerk. You want to be a good jerk, and you can't even do that. See, if you would accept me as a prophet in the name of a prophet, then you would be the best drug addict, the best jerk that there is. Then you would know whether that's what you really want to be. You'd finally grow up and you'd say, oh, I don't like this. See, I don't care what you become. I just want to make you the best. Whatever you want, I want to make you the best there is at it. You ain't never been in no church where they told you that. Die with festering boils if that's what you want. See, there's the only way to help you. See, keep licking your head from now on, and you'll just stay the way you are. Get worse. Forward, progress. Let's go forward. Well, I don't want to get better. Well, then get worse. And then when you get bad enough, then you'll want to talk sense. I don't care. Only thing I don't want you to do is stay the same. Get better or get worse. But get. The word authority means power or influence resulting from knowledge.
I don't know.
You have no authority. So you have no knowledge. The word authority means a person with much knowledge and experience in some field whose information or opinion is hence reliable. That's what the word authority means. It doesn't mean I tell you what to do. It means I'm an authority on what should be done. Well, what makes you think that? Let me tell you what makes me think that. All you have to do is watch and see how it works for me. If you want to live like I do, then recognize my authority. If you don't, then what are you doing here? You see, what the word is really saying here is you must accept the prophet in the same character and authority as the prophet, and then you get the reward that the prophet has. That's just as simple as it gets. We could apply this to your husband the same way. In fact, I'm going to. As a matter of fact, husbands, that's exactly why you have problems with your wife, because she is receiving you in the same character and authority as you've shown her. And that's why you're on the verge of a divorce. How did he know? And let me tell you where authority comes from, so you'll get it square once and forever, that I am not the authority. I have authority, but I'm not the authority. The word authority comes from the word author. And you need to understand what the word author means so you'll know where the authority comes from. The word author means one who makes, originates, or creates something. There's only one creator. There's only one that can take and make something out of nothing. That's what create means. Everything else is made. We take things that already exist and we make things with them. But there's only one creator, God Almighty. Therefore, there's only one author. And if there's only one author, then there's only one authority. But you see, what you need to do to be like God is you have to make up lies, fantasy land. And in that world, you rule. But now, I'm just get back to the message. If you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, then you receive a prophet's reward. Now, people always tell me, you've heard this. Oh, yes, the reward of the prophet. One day after I croak, go to heaven, and Jesus is going to give me some crowns. And now that's true. And then I get to put him at Jesus' feet. That's true, too. And I thank God for that, and I'm going to have mine. I don't want to wait that long, though. So what does reward mean? What reward does the prophet have? And right away, there's dollar signs in your head, right? You're thinking, ah, here's where we get something. Wait, 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 wait. The word reward means to be paid for a service. Ah, well, what's the service? Well, the service is what you get is a reward. Well, what's a reward? The definition of a reward is money offered for the capture of a criminal. Oh, I see. All I got to do is flush you out and turn you in, and I get a reward. Well, if that's true for me, then how do you get your reward? You say, yeah, I got... Is that thief and liar in there? He sure is, brother. I'm a thief and a liar, and that sucker's living in me, and I'm turning him in. Then you're in for the reward. Amen. And then I take that individual, I say, in Jesus' name, I'm here as your appointed individual, and I'm dragging that sucker by the car and say, you come out of there now. Amen. And here he is, Lord, I'm turning him in. Well, who helped you? Well, brother so-and-so. Put him down for the reward. Amen. It's just like the policeman coming in. You have a crook in. Oh, no, no, no. Everything's fine. Harboring a criminal. That's why you don't get the reward. Stupid, stupid. See, you're so busy trying to find out what's wrong with the other individual and report what's wrong with someone else. Ain't no reward there for you. The reward is to turn in that criminal in you. This word reward means something, money, wages, something tangible that you get for the capture of a criminal. And then there's a second half of the reward. It means money offered for the return of something lost. See, I get two. I get to come to the Lord and say, Sister such and such, our brother such and such has turned in the lying spirit. They've turned in the jealous spirit. They've turned in the gossiping spirit. And I'm putting us in for the reward, Lord. And also, I'm bringing you back, Sister such and such. She was lost. She didn't know how to handle her life. And now she's trusting you. You brought me back something that was lost. That's a reward too. You see where the rewards come from? It's no different. Where do you think this concept came in the world? You think they just said, hey, let's give a reward if somebody turns in a crook. Where do you think they got these principles? There's only one author. There's only one creator. So everything is based on biblical law. So what we're really talking about here is, let's turn in the criminal. Well, what is a criminal? The word criminal means to have the nature of crime. Here's what I've got to turn in, whether you like it or not. And most Christians will do one half. They'll turn in one half of the crime. And therefore, they don't get the reward. Criminal means having the nature, not of a crime, but the nature of crime. Well, what is crime? It has two definitions. An act committed in violation of a law that prohibits that act. Everybody knows that. And yes, you became a Christian and you've admitted all the things that you've done wrong, all the things, all the laws that you've broken, and the things that you did to break the law. See, it's an act committed in violation of a law that prohibits that you do that. That's called the crime of commission. An act committed. There's another half. An act omitted in violation of a law ordering it. Bless them that despitefully use you. They strike you on the one cheek, turn to them the other. If they take one coat, give them the other. If they ask you to go a mile, go two. See, where you're messing it, you're omitting and violating a law that orders you to do something. You think you just do it if you like. You're a criminal. You're not doing what God said you ought to do. You stopped at doing what God said you hadn't ought to do. And you had or ought to not do that, but not leave the other undone, is what I'm telling you. See, Satan will get you one way or the other if you don't have a prophet to lead you. Just stopping the breaking, stopping the commission of an act that violates a law that prohibits that act is only half of it. Now Jesus has you just on the verge of victory. You can see the promised land. It's just over the horizon. And now he says, now here's the law that orders you to do something. I don't want to. I don't want to be nice to her. I don't want to be nice to him. I don't want to do what my husband says. Oh, I'll stop. I won't murder anybody anymore, and I won't rob any more banks, but I sure as hell am not going to say hello to him. It would seem to me you did the hard part, and then you've stripped at the easy part. Oh, aren't we dumb? People are absolutely stupid. You know, of all the things that we give up, those things that we always wanted to do, and we give them, oh, yes, Lord, I'll suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous. But then when we come to a law that says, I want you to do this, there you stop. Now, if God says you're not supposed to do that, I don't want you to do that, you'll admit you'll still do that. But at least you'll admit that it's wrong. But when we get to the sin of omission, you think it's optional. Oh, you're willing to accept that God says, thou shalt not steal. Yes, that's a commandment of God. Thou shalt love thy neighbor. That's a suggestion. What language, what planet are you from, child? I'm convinced you must have a green card. You are an alien. You do not belong here. You don't think right. You see, what God is saying is, I want them dead or alive. They're a big reward. Turn them in. We should put your picture on a poster. Big reward wanted for the liar. Big reward wanted for gossiping Gertie. Known to have hurt many feelings and hurt the cause of Christ by insisting on spreading dirt. GG, gossiping Gertie. Big reward. Proceed with caution. She is armed and considered dangerous. Has a forketh tongue. See, the Lord has a big reward for these people, for the turning in of those wrong spirits. But you see, I can't do it because they live in you. And if you give them the right, if you're a host for them, there's no way that I can break in there and get them without your permission. That's your house. You have to call and ask and say, I want the civil authorities to come and remove this individual. He's a trespasser. He doesn't belong here. I let him in accidentally. I'm sick and tired of him. I want him out. But no, what do? You deny that he's there. So as a result, you miss out on the reward. So I have to go back with the report. I say, Lord, there's two of them in there. There's gossiping and liar. And he says, oh, you get a double reward. See, if you would have just turned him in, I'd have got one reward for the jerk, the creep. But see, the minute you become a liar to cover for that, I turn you both in. And I get a double reward. But you can't hurt me. It doesn't bother me that you want to cover it up. All it gives me is I just double my reward because I double my report. And I don't care whether you like it or not. The fact of the matter is, you're a liar. The fact of the matter is, you're committing sins of omission. And let me tell you how I can spot that individual a mile away, because they've become preoccupied with sins of commission. Become the fiery brimstone avengers of God against all of those that have that sin. And you don't understand, you're committing a sin of omission. I believe the man said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. In other words, he says only God has the right for revenge. Because you think you're God, you want revenge. Now I'm going to give you an example of the kinds of things, and I'm just going to take one individual because it fits all of us. These posters, these criminals that I go after. Let's do one of my favorites. Let's go after wanted, dead or alive, jerks. Known to be in the vicinity. I'm going to share with you what a jerk means. By definition, jerk means a sudden muscular contraction caused by reflex action. That's a jerk. Now I'm going to prove to you your jerks. Remember, it's a sudden muscular contraction, involuntarily, by the way, that's caused by reflex action. Your problem is you have reflex action. Now, reflex comes from the word reflect. Now the word reflex, and you just look it up in your dictionary, you know what it means? Reflex means a reflected image, a reflected likeness, or a reproduction of something. So now, what is a jerk about? The thing that reflects him and reproduces him. See, that's what the word reflex or jerk means. It means one who has a reflected image, a reflected likeness, or a reproduction of something. So all you have to do is tell me, what is it you don't like about so-and-so, and you tell me what you're a jerk about. Because see, that's your image. You reflect. That's what reflex means. That's what jerk means. Reflex action. Reflect means to give back an image of.
to mirror or reproduce something. In other words, what the Lord is saying here, tell them that we know who's in there. And I use the term jerk because it just doesn't matter what you're a jerk about. You're a jerk is what you are. So what it is that makes you upset, what it is that causes you to react, is something that reproduces or mirrors you, and you don't like it. And that's why you don't like that individual. And I'm not surprised. How could one jerk like another one? They're giving back an image of you. Why is it you think, say, well, I don't understand. I just can't stand her or him. And yet I see people in your life that do much more to you than those individuals, but that's your reflected image. That's your wife. That's your other half. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, and I use the term loosely. If you're jerks about a lot of things and a lot of people, that means you're committed, you're reproducing, you're mirroring, you're imaging everybody but your husband or your wife. And how can you have an intimate relationship with them if you're so busy being a veiled person for everybody else, a wife, if you will? See, you're supposed to follow your husband. You're supposed to mirror him. Now, I know in some cases that's enough to cause you to throw up, but that's not the issue here. The issue is, if you would reflect your husband, then I could deal with your husband and you. But the problem is, you reflect everybody and anybody and everybody. So as a result, there's no closeness, there's no intimacy between you and your husband. You don't want to reflect him. Well, he's such a jerk. But you're reflecting your own image. I mean, at least if you reflected your husband, you would be following the commands of God. And he said, wives, be in subjection. Be a jerk to your own husband. Reflect him. Be a mirror of him. Now, if you do it the way God says, I believe the scripture that says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. It won't matter how much of a jerk your husband is, if he is. It won't even matter how much of a jerk I am, if you can believe that it's possible. But you see, if you're in subjection to the individual that God put over you, then whatever's wrong with him is between him and God. But no, you're such a judge and such a critic, and you don't understand is what you're doing is you're condemning yourself. And you say, well, I can't help it. It's a reflex action. It's a jerk. It's something, it's an involuntary action. You say, I'm not going to do it, and you do because you're still a jerk. That's why. You still have that sudden muscular contraction, that involuntary reaction to yourself. That gives back an image of you is what causes that reaction. I'll close with this. You don't even have to turn there. Paul said it best in Romans 7:15, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. Now, how many of you think you know what the word allow means? Now you're getting smarter, a little bit smarter anyway. For that which I do, I allow not. Do you know what the word allow means? It means to know. For that I do, I know not. Allow also means to be aware of. For that I do, I'm not aware of it. So the Lord says, you mean you can't see that that's wrong when you do it? No, I don't know. Well, then I'm going to send you someone to do the same thing and see what you think. Yes, now I can see that's wrong. The man must have a heart from here to Timbuktu. I do not understand the love of God. I will talk for hours, for days, weeks, with some of you, years. And you'll say, I don't know. I don't understand. That's not wrong. I can't help it. And 10 seconds, someone gets in front of your face and does the same identical thing. I've been trying to convince you. Oh, there it is. That's wrong. Oh, how could he do that? I said, how could you see that so clearly? I've been trying to convince you that that was wrong for 5 years now. That which I do, I'm not aware of. Now I'm trying to tell you why you are surrounded by people that do what you do, because you don't want to be aware of it. God wants you to be aware of it in yourself and take care of it in yourself. And you say, but I don't know. I can't see it. I don't understand. So immediately you are surrounded by people who do identically the same thing, and then you understand it. Now, how can you stand before a holy God when you're praying and saying, Lord, help me with this situation. I really don't understand what I'm doing, when you criticize that fast and that accurately when someone does to you exactly what you've been doing all along yourself? The thing that I do, I'm not aware of. Allow also means understand. For that which I do, I understand not. Now I'm trying to share something with you. It's going to make your life peaceful. You are going to recognize the wrong in you, or you're going to recognize that wrong in someone else. But that wrong is going to be part of your life until you get it out of you. And I'm willing to come and make an arrest, but I can't do it unless you blow the whistle. You got to narc on them. You got to say they're here. You see, when I hunt down this jerk and turn him in, my reward is that I become free of it. See, in effect, what I'm saying is, that's wrong. And it's my opinion that we turn that into a holy God and condemn it as wrong. Now, how can that then be in me if it's already been condemned in you? And conversely, if you condemn it in you, how can it be in your children? But you see, the fact of the matter is that I've told you so many times, I would rather deal with the problem in you than wait till it's in me. Well, that sounds backwards. What really happens is I had to get rid of it in me first. Oh, it would like to come back. It would like to bring 7 of its friends with it too, by the way. Swept and garnished. And you know that's what happens to every one of you here. You come and you say, amen, Brother Reuben. Yes, amen, I agree with that. And the house is clean. Jesus is so honest. He's so true to his word. And about this time, the house is swept and garnished, and everything's pure and clean. They can't stand before a holy God. Your temple is clean, but they're right outside. I just say, well, it's way now. They'll be out. And it's swept and garnished, and it's clean, and it's right. And then you go out, and you run into it again and say, well, hi, do you come here often? And he's got 7 of his buddies with him. And Jesus said, the last condition of that individual is worse than the beginning. Because you see, you'll accept it here, and the minute you go out, you're back into it again. And why is that? You hate so much the wrong that's in you, but you refuse to understand it. You refuse to be aware of it. You don't want to know it. So a holy God brings it to you in everybody else around you. He doesn't put it in them, but he knows where they're at. And he says, I know someone that says it's all right to gossip. I know someone who says it's all right to be moody and depressed. I know someone who says it's all right for them to be mean and disrespectful to a brother or sister, depending on how things went at work today. I know someone who thinks that's all right. So then that individual comes and acts that way, and then you say, that's not all right. And what has God made you out to be? Proven to you, you're a hypocrite and a liar on top of that. And I'm telling you, as long as you're not aware of those things in yourself, you're doomed to be surrounded by people, and they'll show it to you, and you will judge it, and you will say it's wrong. And when I come and tell you the same thing is in you, you'll say, I don't know, I don't understand, and I'm not aware of that. And as a result, your life just doesn't move off a dead center in that area of the things that you do that you allow not. You just don't want a prophet's reward. I'm telling you, our business is to turn them in. Our business is to find out what they are, and God will show us, and then we agree. Turn them in. Let's get it. Let's confess. Let's get rid of that. Let's turn it in to a holy God, and we get a prophet's reward. He said, you'll know, in no wise will you lose your reward. But you see, we spiritualize everything. And we try to make it like, oh, this is going to be someday in heaven, or this is way in the past something happened. And I'm telling you, the word is for you right now. You don't have victory because you don't know what a prophet is. You don't know how to receive a prophet. You don't know what a prophet's job is. You don't know how to act and how to have a relationship with the prophet so they can come in. And all we have to do is turn them in. We don't have to wrestle with them. We don't have to fight with them. We don't have to practice. We don't have to do battle. We don't have to deal with them. All we got to do is turn them in. That's it. But no, you'd rather get on a diet of some kind. Or maybe spend some dollars for Jenny Craig or Cigarest or Allarest or just rest, period. And the world's bleeding our people. Christian people are being bled. If the Christian world would take the money that they spend for cigarettes and Jenny Craig and Jane Fonda and all that other stupidity and put it in the basket there, we would have a whole lot more to minister with, and all your problems would be solved, because all you've got to do is turn them in. That's all. But you won't do that because you don't want to admit they're there. And then God makes a liar out of you, because he'll send you someone that has the same thing. And you'll say, I see that. They're not getting away with that. There ain't no way. Well, I thought you didn't know about that. I thought you weren't aware of that. I thought you didn't understand that. Thou liar. See how simple this works? And you can also see you're not making a fool out of this man. As a matter of fact, you're only making a fool out of yourself. And if you want to, again, allow not, you want to go around judging and criticizing and finding fault with other people, you're going to live that way the rest of your life. Never, always learning, but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. And yet you had it in front of your face all along. And the simplicity, which is Christ, we don't have to do battle. We don't have to find some way to suffer through getting rid of this or that. Just turn it in. Just admit that it's there and say, I don't want it anymore. It's here. It has no right. And then we'll see if Jesus lives up to his word or not. Let's just see how much he needs you to get it out. Didn't need you. Satan sure didn't need you to get it in. I mean, you were more than willing. That you just did just kind of right away, didn't it? Well, just as simple the other way. You said, sure, I'd like to try that. So someone gave it to you. Well, what would happen if you say, sure, I don't want to try that anymore? Doesn't God have as much power as Satan? When you decided you wanted to try drugs, you wanted to smoke, you wanted to do whatever, someone just showed up and said, here, the first one's always free. Now, if Satan is smart enough and powerful enough to send you someone to give you that you want, doesn't it follow that God has the same power, since it originates with him? And that he can also send you what you want? But see, the fact of the matter is, you don't want to admit what you got. And forever after, you'll know that you're a liar. Because everyone in this room, one of you, at one time or another, has told me what you think is wrong with somebody else. So you have the ability to see it. You just don't want to see it in you. And as long as that's the case, you are defeated. And I get both rewards. I'd like to come up to you and say, let's turn that in, and you get one reward and I get one reward. No, I don't do that. I'll turn you both in. Lord, there's sin inside of that individual, and that child's a liar too. So then I get to turn two in. So do I care? No, I don't. Should you? Yes, you should. See, I'm free in Christ. I don't care who accepts, who doesn't accept. I'll turn all five of you in. I don't care if there's a legion in, I'll turn them all in. Doesn't matter to me. See, I only need one person. See, I could turn in a bunch. I only need one. How many are you? We're legion. Well, there's a day's work right there. don't care. It doesn't matter if there's 50 people, 50,000, or one. There's enough demons to go around. I don't really care. And God's still taking care of my needs. So I'm just trying. Man, I'm a stool pigeon. I'm telling you that right now. I'll narc on you in a heartbeat. Don't you ever think that I'm going to cover for you. I'm not. I'm going to turn you in as fast as... Man, I hit one knee and I'm already calling out your name. I don't even wait till both knees hit. Yep, she did it again. There's a liar there. She doesn't want to admit it. Doesn't bother me any. But then look what happens to your life. See that again in everybody. Then you start calling me and telling me, I thought you didn't know that. Liar, liar, pants on fire. I like that saying. I'm done. Brother Duane, would you close the service in prayer?